of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History Project 2. This is Marion Silberman with my partner Mark Stern, interviewing Miss Beth Topolsky on Wednesday, January 6, 1988. Mr. Topolsky, would you please state your name and address?
Beth Topolsky, 5260 Center Avenue.
Mr. Topolsky, we'd like to know a little bit about your social life. What do you do today, as far as vacations go, as far as hobbies, and things like that? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there's no social life, business life.
Okay.
Well, with the exception that I have in the last few years made several very interesting trips. My first trip back to Europe was in 1963. We did the usual European countries. And other than, if you want me to continue on trips.
Sure.
In 59, we drove to the West Coast and spent time in the state of California. It was a two-week tour, myself and my friend Lil Horvitz.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a very interesting trip.
What have you done more recently?
More recently, mm-hmm. Well, I can continue. 1968, I made a trip with Council of Jewish Women, by the way. We went to, started out with Portugal, Spain, Turkey, and ended up in Israel. And visited the kibbutzim where most of the people that had survived the First World War and went on to Israel established a kibbutzim, and I had some friends there, so it was a very interesting trip.
These are friends from Europe that you met
people
there?
No, from the organizations. That
That had immigrated, that had made aliyah to
Israel?
Yes. Did you stay on the kibbutz at the time?
No, we stayed in the hotels, but we did visit the kibbutzim.
You know, the interesting part for me is, since being at the organization that you were active right here in the United States, what was your first feeling about Israel, especially in 63 when they were building the country?
Mm-hmm.
You were not involved over here in any Zionistic organizations. Before your trip to
Israel? Before the trip, the organization as a whole was not Zionist-orientated.
Right.
However, at the time that Israel was declared a state, a country, in 1948, mm-hmm. I was in Boston attending a convention of the Workman Circle. And it was very heartrending to see the enthusiasm among the people when we got the information at the dinner.
Mm-hmm.
From then on, there was a bit of different attitude towards Israel. While I could say that prior to the establishing of Israel, there wasn't that warmth or interest in creating a Jewish country or
what
establishment.
About you, when you saw really the state of Israel was created, did you have a special feeling about Histadrut HaOvdim, which is similar organization, the workers' union, so to say, in Israel?
By 1948, when the United Nations was interested in establishing the country. There was a bit of a shift. There was, in fact, there were at that time a number of branches throughout the United States. that were in favor of an establishment of a country and supported.
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, Workman Circle supports Hister Druid like any other group. In fact, we have a special campaign on right now for building a children's establishment in conjunction with one of the hospitals that's supported by the International Race Garment Workers Union.
You of course realize that the Druta of Dim has done all the things that you were hoping for here, including special places for the workers in case they are sick, their nursing homes.
Not more than supported the Leipzig House, if you're familiar with the in Tel Aviv.
Mm-hmm.
We established a children's hospital in conjunction with one of the hospitals, specifically for children, for children's diseases, etc.
Where?
I'd have to go back on the records.
That would be with Hadassah, most probably, because they are open for this type of enlarging of the...
Had I known that you and I would have looked
extending.
Back
no,
some information.
No, it's fine.
Yes.
Your memory is great.
Continuing on Israel, as I said, the first trip was in 63. The second trip was in 69, or 68, 15 years later, 68. At that time, I had a great niece at the university in Jerusalem, studying the language in fact, right now she's supported by the Council of Jewish Women, working on a history on women in the movement, and is writing her doctorate at Binghamton, New York, at the University of New York.
What
in
is
Binghamton.
Her name?
Her name is Faith Rogo.
And she's your great niece.
She's my great niece. Also at that time, her brother, who was a high school student, took 6 months off from his schooling and spent the high school in Haifa. The niece spent 14 months in Israel and got her degree in Hebrew, in the Hebrew language. She said she's working on her doctorate. Hopefully, it'll be concluded at the end of this month.
In fact,
she's coming in to visit with me. Yeah,
no, that's nice.
This coming weekend.
That's nice. Have you been back to Israel since 1968?
No, but I have been following 68 trip. A trip to on the way back from the trip in 68, we went to Vienna and spent 3 days touring, and at the time could not get to where the refugees who were, or the emigres from Russia, where their changeover was in Vienna.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
And the people that I was with, somehow I couldn't get to visit the area where they were put in when they were waiting for their visas, either to go to Israel or to go to America. Mm-hmm. Following that trip, my sister and I made a trip to the Far East. We visited Japan, etc. And the following year, we went to China.
What year was that?
78 and 79. No, 79 and 81.
That must have been. That must have
we
been.
We went to China. We felt that we wanted to see it in the primitive looks, rather than this modern China that's becoming part of this world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the China that used to be.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure
it was a very interesting trip. Both the one to Japan and the one to Israel.
There are traces of Jewish people in both countries.
Yes.
In both areas.
Was there anything of Jewish importance that you saw there?
We went to in Japan. We when we were in Tokyo, we went to the synagogue Friday night. A bit disappointed, if you want to know, about the our involvement, our conversation with the rabbi and the chazan. We as guests numbered more. We got three cabs to take us from our hotel to the synagogue.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a very narrow little street, pitch dark. It was Orthodox because we women had to sit upstairs. Following the services, we talked to both the rabbi, who was a person that came from Israel, but there was no warmth in them. We asked them, how do we get back to the hotel? How do we get cabs? We got no cooperation. The people walked away and left us this small foreign group. But we managed.
Mm-hmm.
We got back to the in Tokyo. I looked up if there was anything in the telephone directory that would give me an entree to, and I found that there was a Jewish club, so I called, and unfortunately the woman who answered the phone said, "Sorry that you are calling today. Had you called yesterday, we would have had you come. We had a meeting of the Jewish active people in Tokyo."
Mm-hmm. And how about in China?
In China, our guide had new... Well, first of all, in China, I went on a trip on one foot.
What do you mean?
We arrived late at night in Hong Kong, and although I had been to the Sheraton Hotel twice on the previous trip, on a trip to the far east, I'd forgotten that when you get out of the bus, in order to get into the entrance door, there's a step down and then a step up. Well, instead of walking down, I landed flat on the ground, and I injured my right foot. This was 11 o'clock at night, and coupled with the book, the trip were from Florida. We had made the trip with them previously to Japan. He said, "Beth, we'll get you up to the room. We'll get you some ice, and in the morning we will get you to the hospital and have some X-rays taken." In the meantime, which I found out later, my sister said to him, "I think you ought to arrange for us to go back to the United States. I don't think Beth should make the trip." It was a three week, closer to 4 week trip. He said, "No, I know you're best. She'll be okay." Well, the next morning we went. We had X-rays taken at the hospital. We got very nice service. We refused to take any money. Wouldn't even take a donation. This is part of government service to their own people and
mm-hmm.
to any of the visitors. Well, anyway, I had my foot bandaged, but I made the trip
on one foot.
And I came back, and when I saw the orthopedic there, he said, "By now, there's nothing we can do with it. You'll have to live with it."
Mm-hmm.
But I made it. I'm here.
Did you find at that time, were there many English-speaking people in China?
Yes, there was quite a number. The air conditioning was a problem to the majority of the tourists. We didn't complain.
What month was it that you were there?
Mm-hmm. No, it wasn't in the summer. It had to be in October. I'd have to go look for the information.
That must have been a very exciting trip. Since then, have you traveled?
No, since then I haven't traveled. In the meantime, my sister's been very ill, and when she lost her husband, and had a side bypass.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be, I doubt any more long,
not long,
long
trips,
trips
like that.
Yeah.
Maybe short ones.
Yeah.
You're visiting your family, or
we've
they
been,
come to
yeah,
visit
well,
you?
I visit them. My sister is now widowed and lives in Las Vegas, and I've been there. This year, spent a lot of time because she was hospitalized, and
mm-hmm.
I had to be there. I made another trip to Hawaii. I forgot about my trip. 3 weeks in Hawaii.
Oh, that's good.
It's in the five different islands.
You've really seen an awful lot.
Yeah, I have.
That's wonderful.
I think I've been able to do that because I was single. I didn't have any outside of worries about my immediate family.
Mm-hmm.
But personally, I was free to do what
whatever you wanted to do. Whatever you wanted to. Do you have any hobbies?
No, not really.
No?
No.
Okay. And when we were here last time, you told us that you belong to Rota Shaw.
Yes.
Do you attend there regularly?
No, I do. I certain occasions when they have somebody special that I some of their evening functions and
mm-hmm.
movies, lectures
mm-hmm.
that I usually try
mm-hmm.
to take in. I don't spend Rosh Hashanah in Pittsburgh. My niece in Chicago is like a daughter to me, and I spend Rosh Hashanah and Pesach in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Yom Kippur, I'm at the temple.
Mm-hmm.
I come back for Yom Kippur.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. In the years that you have lived in Pittsburgh, I'm sure that you've seen an awful lot of changes happening in the city itself, in the way that people live. You lived a long time in East End.
Mm-hmm.
How do you perceive Pittsburgh as you knew it and what it is today, you know, economically and culturally, politically?
Well, my work was mostly with the Jewish angle in the city. I was involved as an employee of the Forward with the Jewish Theater, and there was a period in at which time Cleveland had a Jewish group playing there, bringing in an artist from New York as a lead, and each month there was a different play. We would bring them in with the support of the Forward to perform at the Syria Mosque once a month. And believe it or not, we almost used to pack the mosque for the performance.
What year would you say that was?
That was in the early 30s. We also were interested at the time prior to the performances in at the Syria Mosque. The Shelley Theater was a theater that neither of you would existed anymore when you
mm-hmm.
were here. It
mm-hmm.
came to this to the city, but the Shelley Theater was a place for the Jewish theater from New York would come and play two or three performances. And you might be surprised that Edgar Kaufman at one time, being in New York and seeing a performance of a play based on the novel written by I.J. Singer. What's the color?
Brothers Ashkenazi.
Oh,
okay.
which was written by I.J. Singer, I.I. Singer's older brother. Andrew Kaufman had seen the performance in New York, and he was so enthused with it that he came back and called the office and said, what can we do to set up and bring the play to Pittsburgh? So it was unusual to see the audience that came to see a Jewish performance. I don't know if you want to call them German Jews, but Jews that ordinarily you would not expect to attend a Jewish performance.
Were those performances in Yiddish?
In Yiddish, oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. This is a place. And the Brothers Ashkenazi had played in New York for a whole season.
Of course, the Pittsburgh Jewish community has changed a lot since then.
Definitely.
And how do you view this Jewish community today? Is it better, is it worse, is it stronger, is it not as strong?
Well, it's stronger in the sense that it's one organization, whereas in back in the 1920s, there was a split in the organizations. Let me get my hands on of the two groups that merged and became the Jewish community, the United Jewish Federation.
What two groups?
The Federation of Jewish Philanthropies.
Okay.
Was one.
Mm-hmm.
What were they active?
There were like two. The German Jews raised funds on their own, and
that was the first organization.
That was the first organization. Leo Lehman was the one who was most active in that group.
And what year was that?
That was at the time that I came to work for the Forward, which would be in
1923.
All the way, I think, until the merger came December 31st, 1923. This is not.
The merger with what group? What was the name of the other group? Okay, now we have here the Federation of Jewish Philanthropies, which you said was the first one, right? And then we have the United Jewish Fund.
The United Hebrew Relief Association of Pittsburgh.
What year was that?
That was
the time of the
1912.
That's right.
Financial statement of the year ending, okay. 1912.
And then all of those organizations became the United Jewish Federation. Is that right?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Who were some of the people that you remember being involved with in those early years in these different organizations? Were you ever involved with the Federation of Jewish Philanthropy?
Only to the extent that at the time of the campaigns, they would insert ads seeking support for the organizations through the Forward,
mm-hmm.
so that I would go and pick up the material and get it, send it on to New York, and
and the same thing with the United Jewish Fund?
Well, yes, even when the two groups merged, there was more appeal through the Jewish press than is of today, because of the fall off in the readership of the Jewish publications. People read English, they don't read Yiddish anymore, so that the support isn't there anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You found it really that this change of the use of language, the loss of the connection with the Yiddish,
yes,
made it a strange.
And another interesting thing, this is back in 1923. Charles Joseph headed the publication of the Jewish Criterion. And Kaufman's department store had a foreign office with employees that would take the customers from department to department to help them do their shopping with a person that spoke the language from which the people came, including someone who would take a Jewish emigre who just came, doesn't know the language, can't do the shopping. You would go to Kaufman's basement and get an employee to take you to go shopping with you.
And they found out about the service available through the Jewish
through
criteria.
The forward. They would put
through
in the every Sunday. There was a large ad, half a page, three quarters of a page, depending on what they were advertising. And for
what was the involvement of Charles Joseph to that?
Charles Joseph was the editor of the Chronicle. Jewish Criterion.
Right.
First.
Now the Chronicle.
Well, didn't there used to be two?
Yeah,
there was the
Outlook,
right,
and the
Criterion,
and the Criterion, and then they merged.
And then they merged. And
yeah,
became one, the Chronicle.
Yeah. Charles Joseph was also connected with a department store, a men's and ladies' store on Smithville Street. Neiman.
Well, this service that Kaufman's offered to immigrants, were they the only department store to do that?
Yes.
Well, that was good business for them.
Yes, of course.
Huh. That's interesting.
Very attractive woman used to run the department. Don't ask me her name.
The way that things have changed for the Jewish community, do you think in those earlier years, did you run into much anti-Semitism in this country?
Well, I didn't personally, so I don't.
In the community where you lived, in
the
East End,
yeah.
How was it there?
So mostly Jewish at the time that we moved there. We moved there in 1930 from the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the majority of the residents there were Jewish. There were Mellon had quite a bit of property there and was still living in the area, and those people towards Highland Park were gradually moving up, and the Goyim would be moving out.
Mm-hmm. Did the people feel free to walk about and
yes,
attend
no,
services, and they
no
were
problem.
Never bothered in any way?
No, not.
How was it when the war broke out? You know, right before the First World War, say.
At the time of the First World War, I was too young to be cognizant of between Jew and Gentile,
mm-hmm.
and I went to Miller School, did the 8 years of Miller School in 4.5 years, so I was in a big hurry,
mm-hmm.
to my involvement wasn't with, we had one black child and even in my high school graduation, high school class, I think we numbered about 160 graduates, and there was 3 blacks and a couple of Gentiles. They lived in the upper part of the Hill. We did have a group of Gentile children brought in by streetcar transportation from Hazelwood that went to Fifth Avenue High.
Otherwise, the children are Jewish?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Not Jewish and Jewish. Were
How did they get along?
Very well. There was no problem.
And how about the Second World War, like in the late 30s?
in the late 30s. Well, being active in the socialist movement, there was a specifically Jewish group which had its own activities, the Jewish Socialist Laban, the Workman's Circle. Some things were done jointly with the Labor Zionist, which was the right of the Jewish community. We had the Labor Lyceum. We had our own building. We were the only organization that would rent to the black community our auditorium for some of their functions, for the dances. We had no problem. There was never a question mm-hmm. because they were black that we shouldn't rent them.
Mm-hmm.
We made it convenient for them. We were also, we had our doors open to all of the unions in the community. We carried on a campaign for funds nationally during the miner strike. We would collect funds and send a group to the strip, buy up